6:40 on First Edition. Kids heading back to class, and in some schools, they will find new technology on their computers to keep them safe from internet bad guys. Joining us live on Tech Tuesday here on First Edition, Bill Sickens, host of User-Friendly 2.0 on AM 860 The Answer. Bill, specifically, let's take a look at what they are doing in Lake Oswego.
So this is a system that's kind of unique. It's specifically designed to track and detect sex offenders that may be visiting the school campuses. The way that it works is when you go to a Lake Oswego school, you check in, and when you do, they scan your ID. The barcode on the back of the driver's license or ID card is what's actually used. That information is checked against the National Sex Offenders Database, and if someone comes up as a match on that, then they know that that person is in their school. And it doesn't necessarily deny the person access to the school, but they would at the very least be escorted if they were in the system. And then the other side of this that also is kind of an interesting implementation of it is for anybody that is supposed to be there, such as parents or whoever, they can get a pre-clearance. So when they're at the school, they actually have access and don't have to go through it every time. So it's a system that seems to be able to address both ends of keeping it easy for people that should be there to be able to access the campuses, but at the same time protecting the students.
Well, it sounds relatively easy. Do you think other schools will also pick up on this?
Yeah, there is a bit of a cost involved. I understand they paid for it with a recent school bond or something like that. So there's always the want to be able to fund these type of things. But I do think it's a system that if it works out and works the way that it's supposed to, that we're definitely going to see in more places. And I think it's one of those things that just adds an extra layer of protection that's really nice to have.
Is this the best use of technology? Because I know that sometimes technology can work in reverse and maybe screen out those who actually should be allowed in, and we've seen that with facial recognition.
Yeah, and it's definitely, those are some of the issues you definitely want to consider. The difference between this is it's a lot more of an exact science. You're actually directly comparing a barcode against an offender's database. It's not as subjective as facial recognition where the computer's trying to match on points that may or may not actually connect. So from that standpoint, I do think it'll work a lot better than facial recognition technology. But like with any new tech, number one, you got to try it out and see how it works in the real world, which is what's going on here. And number two, there are always things that can pop up that you don't think of when you first put it together. So I think given the year and seeing how this works will answer a lot of those questions. But again, going into it, I think the extra layer of security will be beneficial.
Another story that you're following, that you're talking about, is kind of related. 1 million fingerprints leaked. Tell us about that.
So passwords and hacks and all of these different type of things have been a big deal and continue to be. And the basis of that is the bad guys try to get into a system to get information to be able to access your records, your data, sometimes your financial information and that type of thing. So moving off of passwords, a lot of companies have been going to biometric data like fingerprints and eye scans and certain things like that. This particular hack just came out this week. It's a product called BioStar 2, which you may not have heard of directly, but it's implemented into a lot of different systems around the world. Something like 85 of the bigger companies use it with a total of about 1.5 million installations. And somebody's been able to get in and get the fingerprint information as well as account information to be able to presumably bypass the security protocol. The biggest issue with this is you can change a password. You can't change your fingerprint. So this kind of does add a new layer to the hacking world of what they're going to really be able to do about this to recover from it. And this is something that's just breaking news. It's going to be interesting to see where this ends up. But this actually could be a pretty intense hack, and it's definitely a new spin on a lot of the different things that we've been hearing about.
And it sounds, too, like the bad guys could be tracking you through your Bluetooth, and that's got to be chilling because that is a technology almost everyone uses.
Absolutely. Welcome to Hacking Tuesday.
Exactly.
So what we got, you know, it just seems to be where it is. And we hear about all of these different things. The security is such a big deal on all of the products we have, and sometimes not thought completely through. This is something that's coming out of a conference called DEF CON, which is a big hackers conference that's held every year in Las Vegas. And what they're actually saying out of there is to turn off your Bluetooth. Now, being that most of us have devices that require this to work, that would be somewhat inconvenient, especially streaming devices like headsets and walkie-talkies and different things like that that require the data to be updated and in real time, fitness trackers, smartwatches, all of that uses that type of information. The one positive thing is Bluetooth is a short-range communication tool, so you do have to be somewhat in range of the transmitter in order to be able to get into it. But the negative side of this is there's a lot that seems to be able to be done when you do. You can track the person's location. You can see the data that's being transferred through it. And the other part of it is unlike a lot of other technologies that are out there, is Bluetooth devices do not generally have the ability to be updated. Some do, but most don't. So that headset, if it has the security flaw in it, there may be no way that the distributor or the vendor can ever send out software to really be able to fix it. I think the best way to approach this is make sure that your device is not left in pairing mode. Take some precautions like that. When you use the device, you'll have to have your Bluetooth on. But maybe consider when you're not using a Bluetooth device to go ahead and turn it off. It's easy to do on your phone. It also does save battery life, so there's some advantages from that standpoint, at least until they come up with some better news for us on that.
Before we let you go, Apple is shelving the walkie-talkie feature.
Yep, another short-range communication device. This is a little different from what we've talked about in the past. This is an actual walkie-talkie feature that they were working on and had prototyped in the Apple Watch and a couple of different devices like that, that if you didn't have cellular capability but were in range of someone else with an iPhone or a compatible device, you would be able to use what literally is a walkie-talkie. We're hoping they bring it back, but there's been some problems with the technology. So right now, Apple has announced that they're shelving it, but they're not completely getting rid of it.
Bill, we appreciate your time, and thank you for joining us here on First Edition.
It is always a pleasure.
Bill Sickens, host of User Friendly 2.0, heard Saturdays from 5 to 6 right here on AM 860 The Answer on Tech Tuesday.